God's grace, God's mercy, and God's kind of peace rest deep, deep in your hearts, deep in your minds, this day and always, because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preachers refer to this as the summer of the bread, meaning that there's probably four gospel lessons in a row that all deal with feeding miracles of Jesus. And of course, if you're a preacher, after about the third one, you're wondering, what else can I say about bread? So presuming that you've already heard your fill of bread sermons, pardon the pun, I'd like to focus instead on the epistle lesson on Ephesians 4. So far the text, my fellow believers. The opening words of Paul in this epistle lesson to me are incredibly powerful. I, Paul, a prisoner for the Lord, call you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. When you get home today, I'd like you to take a post-it note and write some of those words on it. Lead a life worthy of your calling, and then put it on the bathroom mirror. So you have to look at it every day. Because whether you think about it or not, or have ever considered it, you are called. That's what your baptism is all about. You are marked with the cross of Christ. You are called to live a life worthy of that calling. And part of that calling means living a lifestyle that's a little bit different. It means being focused on giving more than getting, letting go more than holding on, and being more concerned about the needs of others than even your own needs. Paul goes on to say that this life should be grounded in things like patience and humility and gentleness and a willingness to forgive. Well, those are terms we don't see on social media very much, do we? This lifestyle that we are called to live is a little bit different, but that's the way it's been since Jesus went up and the Holy Spirit came down. And when you and I live a life worthy of our calling, of our baptism, when we struggle to really remember whose we are and what God calls us to be, well, then it is that we provide opportunity to help others find their way back to the amazing love God has for all people in Christ Jesus. Paul then goes on to suggest that in living a life worthy of your calling, you should use the gifts that you've been given. And he has this great imagery, which he also uses in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, suggesting that every Christian is uniquely created and uniquely gifted. No one gift better or worse than another gift, but all of those gifts are meant to be working together in harmony for the sake of the mission that God has entrusted to the church. And when we use our gifts, we build up one another in Christ until we all attain, as Paul says, the full measure of what it means to be alive in Him. I know I'm giving you a lot of homework here, but when you get home today, I invite you to Google TV commercial eating together. And what should pop up for you is a very short video that was actually originally part of a commercial for a company in Canada, probably 15 years ago. The commercial's long gone, but the video endures. And it begins with a woman at the end of a workday. She's on a very crowded bus, and everybody's squeezed in against her, and everybody's in their cell phones, and nobody's paying attention to each other. The bus stops. They get off. She walks over to the apartment building where she lives, gets into the elevator, and again, surrounded by people crushing in on her, all looking at their cell phones. The elevator goes up, gets off at the floor where she lives. Everybody goes rushing past her. scurrying into their apartments, and she's alone in the hallway. She walks into her apartment and finds her daughter buried with her face in her cell phone. She drops the bag, and I won't go on to spoil the ending, but just to suggest that then the mom and the daughter find a way to engage all of the people on the floor of that apartment building until finally they're all coming together and each one bringing what they have for the sake of the common good. When you watch that, you realize this is what God had in mind for the church. This is a perfect imagery for what the church is supposed to be. Different people, different backgrounds, different everything else going on. There's not much we have in common except our faith together. And when we come together in ministry and each bring the gifts that God has given to them, then pretty amazing things can happen. Well, if you're going to lead a life worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, and using your gifts, well, then the first step, obviously, is honestly assessing what your gifts are. And then praying for the courage to use them. The truth is that many people in the church are reluctant to use their gifts. Now, trust me on this, pastors are not trained to do this in the seminary, but we learn early on in ministry to spot gifts. And when we see somebody who we think is gifted, the twinkle in the eye, and you rush over and you put your strong arm in their shoulder and say, "Bob, I believe you have the gifts to be on that board of evangelism. Don't you need to serve the Lord and the church?" And how do you say no to that? And of course, members, if you've spent any time in a church, learn how to watch for that pastor's twinkle in the eye and to avoid him at all costs. Moving in the other direction, because they know that if the pastor leans on them and they say yes, it's going to take a commitment, and it's going to take work, and it's going to take time and energy and all those things we don't think we have enough of. Part of the reason we're reluctant to use our gifts, I think, is because of who we are as Lutherans. We are a pretty self-effacing, humble kind of people, for the most part. When I was young, my sainted grandmother, in her broken English and German, took me aside and said, "Donald, sif preza gustuk," which I think loosely translated means "self-praise stinks." And maybe you've heard a comment like that along the way. We never want to come across as appearing that we're somehow better than other people, you know. Better to keep the gifts hidden. The second reason we're reluctant to use our gifts is we're never quite sure how people are going to respond to us when we use the gifts. Because when the pastor leans on you and you go to use your gifts, you're kind of putting yourself out there. And trust me on this too, there are people in every congregation who believe that criticism is their primary spiritual gift. And they use it often and well. And we get enough judgment from the world. Who needs more of it from the church? But the third reason, and perhaps the most important one, is we're not quite sure exactly what our gifts are. We read this stuff and listen to Paul's words and go, "Well, what is a gift anyway?" That's a place where you need to have a conversation with God and ask God to help you discern what your gifts are. I guess I would begin by asking you to ask yourselves, what do I like doing? And secondly, maybe, what do I feel I have some confidence in doing? And then thirdly, and the big question is, how might I use whatever gifts God has shaped me with uniquely to actually incarnate the faith out there that I say I believe in here? Using your gifts and leading a life worthy of your calling is risky business, and it's a committed business, and it's difficult business. There's no way around it. But this is who God has called us to be. And the reason that we are trying to live a life worthy of our calling is because Jesus lived a life worthy of his calling. We call him Jesus. In the Hebrew, he would have been known as Yeshua, Joshua, one who saves. That's the literal translation. You look at Jesus' life and his ministry, and even to the point of the cross and beyond, Jesus was following exactly what God called him to do and using all the gifts that he had to do it. And of course, in so doing, he has reconnected us with the very heart of God. We who were nothing, now in Christ, have everything. And so when we try to follow Paul's words here and try to lead a life worthy of our calling and try to use our gifts, it's nothing more than expressing gratitude. It's just standing in sheer amazement at what God in Christ has made us to be. Once lost, now found forever. That's why I think this is such an appropriate epistle lesson, and perhaps especially in this particular moment in which we are living in this restless American society. If the national statistics are true, many, if not most, of the people outside of this church building and in the neighborhoods in where you live do not have any kind of connection with the church or with the faith. You are part of a very distinct minority. If they're ever going to find faith in Christ, it begins with you. It's when they see Jesus alive in you. It's when they see you trying in your own way to live out the life that worthy of your calling. It's when they experience compassion and mercy and grace and love from you using your gifts to serve them. Those are the moments in which the heart becomes open to help them find their way back home. This morning I'm going to close by actually singing a song, but I'm going to ask you to join me. Because if you've spent any time in a Lutheran Sunday school, you know this one. And I've leaned on the praise team to help me with this one too. And I really encourage you to sing so that you can drown out my voice. Otherwise, it's going to be a very not good solo up here. So, are we ready? This little light of gospel light of
this little light.
Do it again.
Remember?
Listen to the words you just said. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. In a world that's always tilted more toward darkness than light, there's probably never been a more important moment than this one for Christians to let their light shine. Gently, humbly, patiently, but to not be afraid and to not be embarrassed and to not try to deny the faith that is in our heart. Because when we do, that's when we help people to find their way home. I beg you, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And let the love that God has for you in Christ enable you, enlighten you to do just that. Let the people of God say, Amen.